Today, I'm going to be sharing with you something that is very special in my life and that I don't take very lightly as I share it because of the magnitude of what I'm going to share. I'm going to share very quickly certain things here, and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit, too, open up His Word for us. We're going to be reading the Word quite a bit today. Do you know that we are living in a day and age where we cannot be taken up with anything that is down in the strivings of people? Do you know that it's about time that you and I rise up to the occasion and start speaking words of life? Do you know that we no longer can talk the way the world talks? Do you know that we no longer, as God's children, God has given us a choice, and we're hearing this from different messengers all around the world, and we're hearing it from our own pulpit in our own church. Through our own pastor, we're hearing that God now is speaking to His people to line up. And you and I are part of those people. I believe that. So I am speaking to a big group of women here today that represent many families. And you have lined up with the Holy Spirit. I believe that. Because today, you and I cannot be so taken up with our aches and pains anymore. We cannot be so taken up with our family circumstances to that effect that it drains us of everything. Because God has given us a way of escape, and He's teaching us to walk beyond that. That's what God is calling us for, it, to walk into the world today as one army, as one mind, speak the same words, be of one accord, because God is doing His work in all the earth today. He's doing His work in your life and in my life. One of the scriptures that I want to share with you is from 2 Chronicles, the 31st verse, and it goes like this: "And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right, and the truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began, in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart, and he prospered." And then we're going to go over to the 32nd chapter of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, the 32nd chapter. "Also he strengthened himself and built up the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without and repaired Millo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the word." I'm going to stop right there. And then I'm going over to Psalms 18, and I'm going to read there too. The 18th chapter and the 28th verse. "For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect, and the word of the Lord is tried. He is the buckler to all those that trust in him. And who is God save the Lord? And who is the rock save our God? It is God that girded me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hind feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and of thy right hand had holden me up, and thy gentleness had made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps unto me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them, that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued unto me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord. But he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the street. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their closed places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. I let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avenged me and subdued the people unto me. He delivered me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. Praise God. I'm going to stop right there. Every scripture that I'm reading to you today is scriptures that will back up everything that I have shared, that I have already shared with you, and I'm going to share a little more with you today. I'm not going to dwell too much on the experience that I had, but I will share that with some of you that have not heard it yet. God is moving in on our city in such a way that he is appointing you and me to be the one that will stand in the gap for our city. God has been doing this for years now. And at this particular time that we're living in right now, God is looking for Issachars. That is men that understand the times that we are living in. Are you an Issachar? Do you understand the times that we are living in? Or do you have to be pampered? Do you have to be pampered? Do you have to go and cry on someone's shoulder all the time? Are you learning to be strong in the Lord? That's what I'm saying. Are you learning to be courageous in all things? But do you lean on people, or do you lean on... Now, see, there's not wrong in itself to do that. But God is now calling us to move a little bit further than that. And this is exactly what God did in my life. He has taught me that we cannot even lean on each other. When it really comes down to it, who is it? God and me. God and me. And there is where it's at, and there is where God wants our attention right now. He wants you to be so attentive to him. He wants your full attention. He wants your complete attention. So that when you receive orders from him, you will quick obey him in everything. You will not even hesitate. And you will be so sharp. And you will be such a cunning woman of God that will go for it. And it does not, circumstances does not even fall into this. Because God is the God of circumstances. Sometimes circumstances will stop you short in what God wants you to do. So he wants us to rise above circumstances and the vision that God has given you when he shared himself with you is what he wants you to cultivate. That's the relationship he wants with you. And that's what he is desiring of you right now. And he wants you to also be that one that will bring that about in everyone that comes in contact with you. That when they are around you, when they are around me, they cannot speak evil. Because our minds are set on God. We are set on God. And we do not talk about anything down in the muck anymore. In fact, now the time has come that you and I do not even agree with any of these things that they speak of. We have to let them know that they are wrong in speaking the way they speak when they do not speak of God and speak on his terms, not on our terms, on his terms. This is the message that God has put upon my heart for a long time, but of late it has been even much more, sharpened in my life due to many things that God has allowed me to see and to understand. Now, when I share this with you, I want you to know that God does not allow us to go through any trial or circumstance that he will not have someone to rescue us. He will have someone there to take care of you every time that you go through a trial. He will never leave you alone. His word is exactly what I read here. He will lighten your candle in the darkness. And you call upon him in trouble and he'll be there. In fact, sometimes it's through the troubles that you are drawn closer to God. But he brings you out of trouble. Every time he brings you out. That's where faith in action comes in. I mean, you just are brought out every time. There is no time that you're not brought out. That's the kind of alive faith that God has given us. Because it's there for us. This is the kind of dedication and commitment that I gave to the Lord the night that Dwight Thompson was here. And it was April 17th, it was a Friday night when he called forth the intercessors. And I knew that I again had to rededicate my life. Do you know that you have to rededicate your life over and over again? You know, that's a good thing to do because each time you do it, you are drawn more closer to the Lord. And that particular night, the Holy Spirit spoke very vividly to my life, what he wanted me to do, what he wanted me to say, what was coming up, and where my place was. Now, God has a place for every one of us in the body of Christ. And I want you to know that. So when I share this with you, I want you to take it very, very serious, some of the things that I'm going to be talking about here. That particular night, I gave myself to this here, and I'm going to share with you what I gave myself to in my dedication. As I stood up that night, I knew that I was dedicating my life to God and God alone. No matter what. Do you hear me loud and clear there? That part I want you to hear loud and clear. And God shared with me that night that the call that he was calling forth in this spirit realm was the call to all the intercessors, all the people that knew God, knew himself, knew his character, that know me, everyone that know me, that they should be called forth to intercession, called forth to take that time out with God and God alone, that would be a priority, that would have first place, that in that there would be a togetherness, in that there would be prayers that would be specific, in that we would receive orders, in that we would give orders, in that we would carry through orders, in that obedience we would have quick obedience. We would not even hesitate. And everyone that was called into this realm would also be on common ground. We would be building a fortress. We would be building a wall of protection round about. We would be watching and praying, and we would be part of, are you ready for this? The bride. Part of the bride. I saw in the spirit that night, and we're going to get back to the bride lots more tonight, today. I saw that particular night in the spirit realm, I saw a prayer arena being set up all over the world. And I saw that everyone all over the world was given a choice to be part of this prayer arena, and that this was happening spontaneously the same time as it. One of the things that had to be given right away, and it had to be a yes in my heart too, would I pray? Would I be part of a prayer watch? Would I be part of the 24-hour prayer watch night and day for 7 days? And then another thing that God shared with me that night was, and I said, yes, I would. I said, yes, I would. And one of the things that I share at this point, I say, God showed me it would be a tremendous sacrifice. It would be a depth that I had never been in before. And it would be a depth that others would be brought into with together. We would be brought into this depth and this realm that we had not been before. And the sacrifice would be great, but the sacrifice would be greater if I didn't and if you don't. It would be greater to fall back into the things of carnality and the world and being a lighthearted Christian. There's consequences beyond words in that realm. So you're not a loser, you're a winner when you go with God all the way. Hallelujah. And you love him so much that you say yes in your heart. I decided that night that I would go full force. I went to bed that night feeling completely well. And then all of a sudden, I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning violently sick. And I was so sick that I went into the bathroom and I fainted and came to again. And I knew that something was radically wrong. And I felt myself fading away, but then I crawled back into the bedroom and wanted to get a hold of my husband and ask him to pray for me. And I woke him up, and he started to pray for me, and that's all that I remember. That from that point, I don't remember anything else. But my family then brought me back into the bathroom again, and water was just gushing out, and he called for Diane, my daughter, to come out, and she just took one look at me and said, "We got to get an ambulance here right away. Call for an ambulance." My husband went back into the bedroom to call for an ambulance, but he couldn't even find the phone. He couldn't. He was completely immobilized. He was completely immobilized. And my son Dean heard Diane's cry, and he quickly got the ambulance and called for the ambulance and came very quickly out on the scene. I'm not going to go into that part of it too much right now because, now right there, Diane took my pulse, and I did not have no pulse. I believe that in the natural, my children would have done a lot of things. This was not a natural thing. They started to pray as they, the best that they knew how. I have never seen my children, and I say pray like they did here. I tell everybody as they were praying here, they went into spiritual warfare. And they cried out to God for help for me. What do you think was the best thing to do there? Was it the best thing to go into spiritual warfare? Or would it be the best thing to do all the medical science knows how to do to try to get you back again? What do you think? See, I have come to the conclusion that even in that, I thank the Lord that my children... And some of you know Diane. She knows very well what to do. She could have started lots of things there, right there and then. And my son Dean, too, was very qualified in some areas there. But here is where I now, and she took my pulse. There was no pulse, and everything else was happening to me. I now was in the presence of God, and I saw what was going on here. I saw my children praying and crying out to God, and they prayed real loud. I tell you, my son Dean was a tiger in the spirit. He was, I tell you, if that manhood in him came out spiritually, it came out there. And Diane just stood and cried out in the presence of God, and I saw the two of them together there just crying out, and they prayed in tongues. They were praying in tongues, and as they were praying in tongues, I understood everything that they were praying. Every word that they prayed, I understood. And they were pleading to God. They were using the scripture came true, loud and clear. Many scriptures came through the tongues. And the Holy Spirit was just to them praying and glorifying God for already what he was going to do, that victory was on its way. And a lot of things that I heard there that they were praying, and I thought, oh God, I have never believed in praying in tongues as much as I do now. Because I see how the tongues just went right through Jesus and right into the throne room and was acted on immediately. No wonder there is a force of evil against speaking in tongues. Don't ever question that. Move right in and you have it. Hallelujah. Move right in there and God will give you more. Hallelujah. We don't question anything that's in the Bible anymore. We're quick to obey him in all these things. And as they were praying there, all of a sudden, do you believe that God will give you right what you need at the right time? He gave Dean the words to speak right there. And he knew, Dean knew without a shadow of a doubt, both Diane and Dean knew, without a shadow of a doubt what had taken place. Satan had come in to try that death, spirit of death had come in our house to try to take my life. And I know now why he came in, because he wanted to stop what had taken place, what I had decided that particular night. Remember all the things I had given over to God that night? As Dean is praying, Satan, you get out of this house in the powerful name of Jesus. And he didn't say it in a low voice. He said it in the loudest voice I've never heard him so loud. In the loudest voice he had, with desperation. And then he spoke. And the God gave him this to speak for it. He says, I speak for it. Life. Life come forth in mom. Life come forth in mom. Life come forth in mom. As I'm listening to this, one of the prayers that stood out in the presence of God was when my children prayed very simple prayers like this. This is some in English and some in tongues. Dad needs you, Mom. We need you. Mom. God, don't you know we need Mom? And then it went on, and I mean, they cried and a lot more than what I'm even sharing with you here. Russ and Linda need you, Mom. Don't you know they need you, God? They almost like they spoke to me and God at the same time. And then they went on, and they mentioned a lot of people. The church here, and many, many of you, the names were mentioned, and that is the part that I contribute to coming back again, was when they prayed, when I heard them pray thus. God gave me a choice, and in his choice, he said to me, will you receive life? Will you receive life? And I said, yes, I will receive life. And I was still hesitating a little bit there for a moment and waiting for some more. And then God spoke to me again. In the presence of God, I heard again, will you receive life? And as that was said, then I started to repeat, yes, I will receive life. And then I repeated the prayers that I had heard my children pray. Just to show you how the human part of us draws you back, you know. And as I said that, I said, yes, I said, my husband needs me, and Diane and Dean needs me, and I went down the line, the list. And then, all of a sudden, I said, yes. But I didn't know how to receive life. I just didn't know how to receive it. So I waited again in the presence of God. I waited again, and then the next command came, take it. And then I took it, and as soon as I took it, it manifested itself in life in my body, and I spoke in tongues on the top of my voice, and I startled my family, and everyone that was there were just startled. And that's when I came back. That's when my pulse was was 60 to start off with, and pretty soon it was 80, and the medics took my blood pressure, did all the examination, and did lots of things, and they couldn't believe how perfect I was. I mean, from one moment I was in catastrophe, and the next moment I was perfect and well, and I signed my... And they wanted to take me to the hospital, but I signed my name right there. No, I don't need to go to no hospital. I knew exactly what had taken place. I could have told them, but they wouldn't understand it, you know. And here is where I would like to now go into some of the experiences that I had when I was in the presence of God. When you move into the presence of God, there is no time. 1 minute is like forever. I don't even know how to measure the time span because there's no time in heaven. You also move into an area of where here we know in part, but there you know in full. All at once, I knew in full. And that is very significant right there. Let me share some things with you right here. This part right here I'd like to share with you that I haven't really shared before. And I'm going to read some of this to you. I said, praise God, I was then in the presence of God. Dean and Diane came forward, powerful and strong in spiritual warfare, cried out to God for me, and that part I just shared with you. And the Holy Spirit came and ministered to me the whole time. Not once did I feel any pain or discomfort. But I saw myself in the presence of God. What completeness was there? No human tongue can ever express such an ecstasy. Those minutes seem like a long time to me. And peace that passes all understanding protected me in such a state. God spoke divine truths to me. I saw and experienced things in heaven, too much for mortal tongue to ever be able to share. At this point, I want to say there are things that I'll never be able to share. Someday, I will experience again some of the things that I did experience. But God knows. As I was completely restored, that I saw the restoration power there is in heaven. One of the places in heaven, do you know that it says in the Word of God that I go and prepare a place for you? And about the mansions, you know. In heaven there are many, many mansions. Many mansions. And there... Okay, as soon as you die and you move in to this life, this eternal life, one of the things that I share right here, I never went through any dark tunnel. I went right into light. There was no dark tunnel. Complete light right away. And I believe that. I have conferred with several others that have died, that they... See, the world today tries to imitate life after death to that everybody. They go through a dark tunnel, then they come out into this glorious light, and they see all these lights and all this and that, you know. And the enemy is so clever. He's trying to confuse us on that. We, as God's children, we move right into light. Whew! Hallelujah! There is light, and it's a flaring light, and it's a light glorious, and it's a light splendor. It just has the way that you move and walk in heaven is flowing. Ooh, hallelujah. I wish I was there. There are times now that I just wish, but the Lord says, that's good because you're coming soon. And we're all coming soon. Mansions, there was one mansion there that had the name of Paradise. And there is where all the saints of God gather together. And when I say the saints of God, that means everyone that is blood bought. No one had any preference in heaven. All that is what we do here. That is not in heaven. Because we're all together as one. And we know each other. We don't have to be introduced in heaven. We know who everyone is in heaven. Like when I also went into another mansion there, that name of it was the Great Patriarchs. The mansion was Great Patriarchs. Went in there and saw all the men and women that I read of in the Bible, and I knew who they were. I knew who they were. No one had to tell me that that was Abraham, that was David, and that was Moses. One of the mansions that in particularly stood out to me, and I have a little time right here with speaking about this because there are some areas there that I have no way I can put into words about the mansions. But I want you to remember, if you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember there are mansions in heaven. There's one particular mansion where there is a tremendous preparation going on right now, and that is the mansion where the wedding feast is being prepared. Hallelujah. They're busy, they're very active in there. There's activity going on in there constantly. Setting table, setting up for the bride to come. And getting prepared for us to come. Hallelujah. And they're preparing, and there are certain duties that are being taken care of. There is food in heaven. They're cooking. The grass is so green there that you can't even put a dent in it when you walk on it. It just leaves nothing there. The flowers, everything is, the colors are majestic. I have no way to explain the colors. There is a crystal clarity, perfection. Maybe I'll share this little part with you. This is very hard for me to share, but it's not hard. Because I think I probably let my emotions get in here a little bit. In heaven, you don't have to worry about emotions. It's our frailty in our bodies and our carcasses that are so we can't handle the power of God in our bodies, so we react in different ways, but God's given us that. Thank the Lord for your emotions. I thank the Lord more than ever for my emotions now. As I was in one of these mansions again, I'm going to just leave it that way. I had a meeting with my grandfather. I saw my grandfather came over and shook my hand and hugged me and said, Suve, and a lot of other private words that he spoke to me. And another glimpse that I had, well, one of the things that he shared with me there was, In fact, he was the one that encouraged me to go back. My grandfather was a pastor. He was a minister. A very good one, spirit-filled. I come from a generation of spirit-filled pastors in my family, on my mother's side. So this is my mother's father. I never met him as a little girl. He had gone to heaven. I always knew he was in heaven. And he died preaching in the pulpit. As he was preaching the word of God, he went to heaven. He preached from... And this is the part that is so significant to me, because my mother shared this with me when I was down in Florida, now that I never knew. That... I never knew this, that when he died and what he preached on was Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11 is all the great patriarchs, you know, and if you read that about by faith they did this and here and there, they went forth, all these patriarchs in the Bible, you read about them in there. And my grandfather was sharing with me about the patriarchs then, and the patriarchs now, that we have patriarchs right now, and they're here amongst us, and you'll be surprised. We'd be surprised in our human reasoning, yes, but not when we're there, and what is already being prepared for our patriarchs. Already now, functioning, that they're going to be doing. At this point, I want to share with you, and Anne Sandberg, that has written a book about heaven and a lot of things she's written, will be very happy to hear me share this part here, because the way we live here is the way we continue in heaven. We're going to continue in heaven. There's different growth levels there. You know, some are so far ahead in God, you know. And I saw them dancing and worshiping and praising God, I tell you. And when I saw that and understood that, I said, I'm going to dance more than I've ever danced. I'm going to practice it. Do-do-do-do-do. In the presence of God, I'm going to get it in my feet. So... Because sometimes we're so afraid to emote to God. And clapping, I have never heard so much clapping in heaven as I heard. It was and worship and praise. And it was a noise like, I just can't explain to you. At this point, I want to say to you how important it is that you and I move into that spiritual realm and move in there and let go and let God, like we say, just let him have everything. And please have him set you free in many areas of your life right now. There, so that you can have this bride and relationship with God, get to know God in an intimate way. Because if you get to know him in such an intimate way, none of these things here on earth is going to bother you so much, because you will be in the heavenlies. God lifts you up there. The hurts are here, but God's going to lift you above the hurts, and he wants you to move right in there. And then, I have to quickly go back to some of the activities that are going on in heaven. My mother shared with me about my grandfather when he was preaching from Hebrews 11 when he died, and then he also preached about heaven. It's so beautiful and it's so wonderful. Because, see, my grandfather was ushered right into what he had been preaching about. And where I met my grandfather was in that mansion where the great patriarchs were. You know, the whole thing had has a great significance. And God has little ways of confirming things to you along the road for my mom and dad, especially my mom. When she heard that, her face just, I mean, she wasn't able to sleep for nights after that. And the Holy Spirit just ministered to her in such a beautiful way. I also saw, with my grandfather, I saw a lot of my relatives. They were waving to me in the background. I believe that if I had stayed there, I would have talked and conversed with them too, but I was already back. And I can remember when I decided to go back, I just waved to them all. And it's glorious. I don't have the words to even express to you how I felt. I'm just wondering where I want to share some other things with you here. Okay, here I'm going to go through some points real quickly. We have to be very serious about fulfilling the call that God has put in our lives to worship Him, to serve Him. As we do that, then we will be blessed above measure. Because, see, your prayers and my prayers are reaching the throne room of God. And then number two, praying in tongues is a hotline to the throne room. Right? Get that part. Important. There's where you receive. Many times, as you pray, there is a place where the ministering angels are going forth, ministering restoration, healing, all kinds of things that they're bringing to us. As soon as we pray, there is a tremendous activity going on round about us that we can't even see with our eyes, but it's there. The Spirit of God is there. Now, it's good for us to hear the manifestations of the Spirit of God, because the Word of God is true. The Word of God is yea and amen, and everything that I'm sharing with you is in the Word of God. But the Word of God needs to have free course in us, and it needs to be activated in us, and it needs to be manifested in us. And we've been hearing that of late, that God's calling us forth so that the Word of God will be manifested in our lives. Okay, the angels are working busily in ministering. And then the storehouses in heaven, and that is something that I have written a whole chapter on. There's no way that I can share all that with you right now. As we pray, let me share this with you. As we pray, there it is, like it goes up to heaven. And there's many different ways the Word of God is describing our prayers. You know, they go up as ointment, they go up as fire, they go up as most beautiful aroma, and tears, and our prayers have different ways of. Now, see, that's why it's important that you pray from your heart, that you just don't pray prayers lightly, because your prayers take on a sacrifice of praise Or maybe there are times when you just praise him without the sacrifice because you love him so much. God is looking for us to move in there and move into the heavenlies in him and to pray. And God is showing you how to pray, and he's given you what to pray, and he will deliver to you what to pray so that you pray the right things. There is the right prayers and wrong prayers. And I'm going to stir a lot of you thinking up right now, because you better and I better get into the presence of God and receive Holy Spirit prayers as we pray. No wonder Satan's not afraid of you and me in some of our prayers sometimes. No wonder we don't pray through and don't break through. We need to get hold of God. And there are some people that can pray the power of God down so majestically, so powerfully. And that's why we need each other. That's another thing that was made very clear to me. We need each other to pray. We need each other. We need to pray together. We need each other. Because what you pray and someone you can be a blessing to someone else as they pray and they pray you through and you pray them through and before you know it, you have hit it, you know, and then God just pours forth his blessings and he says, now, hallelujah. And he makes, in Hebrews 1:7, he makes his ministers a flame of fire. Do you know what the fire of God does? One of the things that we are hearing a lot about, the fire of revival, the fire of God in our hearts, the fire of Pentecost. Do you know what the fire will do? Besides all the good things it does, it burns out the dross, it burns out anything that's not of God in you. That's what fire does. I mean, that's why it's so wonderful. A revival is when you really get things straightened out and you go on right course and you can't do that, what you did before, and you step into new things and you move close with God because the fire of God is in your heart. Woo, hallelujah. The fire of God is burning all over Chicago right now, all over the world. God is burning in your heart. There's a fire in my bones. I love that. Ooh, I think I got more fire now than I've ever had. Oh, hallelujah. And I feel better than I ever felt before. Hallelujah. See, this is what God wants us to be. Fire in our bones as we go forward with fire. And you know what? He wants you to love everybody. Because, I mean, there's not a one person we shouldn't love. Hallelujah. And the fire of God will do that for you. He will have you comprehend the love for one another, for all people, for everybody. Hallelujah. When the fire gets within the people of God, it burns out the evil chaff in our lives and sets you pure and holy before God. See, we can't walk before God's throne with sins in our lives. But when you have the fire of God in your life, your sins will be consumed in the fire and you will stand completely shiny and beautiful in the presence of God. And the glory of God will be upon you and you'll be pure and you'll be holy as he is holy. In heaven there is neither past nor future. Everything is now. We walk in the now glory. God's timetable, okay, I mentioned that to you already, is not our timetable. Here, another thing, don't let your body or your mind rule your spirit. Let the spirit of Jesus in you rule your mind and your body. Let the spirit of God in you determine how you're going to feel today, even with an ache and pain. You're going to feel good. I'm taking on the word of God. I dress myself with the word of God. Ooh, and you go to it. If we had hours, boy, we'd go into the word and we would really proclaim the word. And we'd take the word that rightfully belongs to us. And no wonder that we need to rehearse the word of God every day. You read it day and night and get filled. And if you ever hear, if you ever hear a voice say to you, you're just taking too much time out with the word. Whenever I see you, get the Bible, Bible, Bible. Good for you. Whew. Hallelujah. Then something is happening in your life. That's why. Praise God. You can be sure that you will have other things besides that God will allow you to flow into and do. Because He will then give you such a sharp mind, you'll know when to do when to do it and how to do it and where to do it, because we're led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And we're obedient to the Word of God, and we walk in His precepts, and we find ourselves in a church, and we find ourselves obedient to the Word of God, and we find ourselves falling right in line with the Word of God. Your spirit, then, the Spirit of Jesus in you, because it's His, is ruling your body and your mind. Not your body, rule your spirit or your mind. Do as God thinks. Be doers. Oh, to be so in tune with God, I wrote down here. We walk and talk with God as a friend in heaven. There's no way I can explain to you that truth. Get into the realms of the Spirit. I also saw thousands of chariots in heaven. There's chariots in heaven. Oh, the next move of God to the church will be the demonstrations of the power of God. You know, that's where it's at right now. And we heard it here Sunday. We've heard it from pastor. We've heard it from many. And blind eyes are going to be opened, crippled, healed, missing legs, restored, miracles. Oh, hallelujah. God is just, you know, God is saying to you to go with the power of God in your life. And don't be left behind in anything. Get your houses in order. And don't blame anybody else for your situation. You just get yourself in order, and you just get that love relationship on with God. Hallelujah. And don't look to people to help you. Look to God to help you. Praise God. And the last and final move of God is going to be like lightnings of God falling everywhere. And there's lightnings that are striking Chicago right now, during this week and during the summer months. And there's so much I could tell you about that, but time is already far spent here. The winds and the thunder of God will be heard, and it's happening. It just look round about you. Those who doubt will be washed away. God will use those who are ready. That's very serious. And those who are willing and who will yield to His power, because God cannot wait any longer for men to get ready. See, the time is so close to His coming. They're just about ready to stand at attention, to call for His bride to come forward. So get ready so the power can flow through you. So we don't want any of you or any of us to miss the best that God has for us. God is alive and well, and He sits upon His throne. Now, here is something. You know, I'm not afraid to die. And I've already ministered to some people that have already had that fear. I'm not afraid to die, because you go right to heaven. And the Lord has prepared a mansion for you. I'm asking the Lord now to what else to share with you here. The river of life that it speaks of in the Word of God is the waters, everything is so refreshing. You can see the refreshing waters. You can see the flowing of the waters in different places. As I walked, I just saw rivers, and then I saw gushings come out like beautiful fountains. And everywhere there is, the presence of God is everywhere. Now, here is something that I don't know if I should hear this part here, but I think I will. This one part here I can't share, okay? But I will share something here. A lot of the saints of God, you know, are dressed in white robes of righteousness, glorified bodies. There is glorified bodies in heaven. Already have glorified bodies. That was so exciting because we're not spirits, you know. We're already they glorified bodies. And I saw different types of sashes, red ones, yellow ones, gold ones. And when you get to heaven, you have a job to do. I already share that with you. Now, angels are dressed differently, too, according to the levels of their jobs. The Lord gave me an understanding of that, too, but too much. I know I'm sharing a lot of different things with you, but I have written chapters on some of these titles and that I have given you here. There's no way I can share it all, but there are angels of different sizes, and angels stand in awe of His redeemed that are you and me. They stand in awe of us. They're ministering to us. Because God has put us on a much higher plane than the angels. We read this in the Word of God, but when I actually saw it, how they came and ministered to me, I wanted now as I come back, with my thinking, I felt like, well, I should minister to them. Ooh, bow before an angel, you know. But in the heavenlies, you don't. You don't think like we think here. You're not afraid there. And so I am very cautious in how I share some of these things. I put here, there is not a problem in heaven, and you and I can't cause a problem there. The Bible says we shall be like Him in 1 John 3:2 and Ephesians 3:15. There's one family in heaven. You know, we're all like one together. And here is something that is also very interesting. The atmosphere in heaven is energized. Complete energy all the time. You don't have to sleep. You don't get tired up there. It's energized. Talk about love, joy, and peace. It's just you're energized and continually. And the heavenly breezes are filled with life-giving flow. I mean, you just enjoy the heavenly breezes. I also, a lot of people ask me if I saw Jesus, and I did, and that's the part that I can't at this moment share, but I will share it as soon as the Holy Spirit allows me to share some of that. I believe there are some things He needs to do in me yet before I can share it. You know, we are human, and the majestic and the majesty of God and I feel like even some of the things that I'm sharing with you here are just surface, but there is so much there, the power of God, and that's the power of God that we partake of. Jesus is what we partake of. No wonder that I can see Jesus in you and you can see Jesus in me, because we are taking on His likeness, you know. I mean, talk about sparkle, talk about life, you know. I mean, there's not even a tired look. You and I can have a tired look at times, but then when we have Jesus in us, the Lord gives us that quickening and that power of God in our lives and that manifestations of the Spirit of God. I'm going to close with some thoughts here. Praise you, Jesus. I just thank you, Lord God, for being able to share some of these wonderful things that you have in store for your people. I thank you, Jesus, for what you are doing in our lives. And I thank you, God, that you are moving upon the waters. You're moving in our spirits. You're moving in our lives. And I thank you, God, that we are part of it. Thank you, Jesus, as we move in to intercession in these last days, that our families and everyone are going to be affected by it and are going to be brought into the kingdom of God. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are waiting to see and you're waiting to pour forth your spirit, that all our loved ones will find you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing throughout the earth today. Thank you that you have said that you would manifest yourself to us as your children, and that no evil can befall us, no harm, only good, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and with dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which had pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Hallelujah. So thank the Lord that you can rejoice together with me for what God has done in my life. Because as you do, you become partakers of that life-giving flow. And then God will enlighten you and he'll pour his spirit of anointing and his spirit of pleasure and his spirit of love and his spirit of revelation, wisdom and knowledge and undue power that will come upon you in such a way that you're going to walk where you didn't dare walk before. You're going to do what you didn't dare do before, and you're going to let off all the weights, and you're going to move ahead because you're going to be so God-conscious, and you're going to just give yourself to Jesus. You're going to love him. You're going to worship him. You're going to spend time with him. How many will say yes to that today? Hallelujah. Because what this is doing in my life, and what I know without a shadow of a doubt it's done this to you today too, it's provoking you to good work. It's provoking you to do good for God. It's provoking you to love God with all your heart and with all your soul. And you're going to shout for joy. And you're not going to take no back seat any longer. And when you see sin, you're going to call sin, sin. And you also, when you see good, you're going to call good, good, because God wants us now to uphold righteousness like we have never upheld it before. Praise God. So, let the Lord be magnified which had pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. That's you and me. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. And everyone said, Amen. Can we turn the tape off, please?